Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit mensteclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. Reginald Atatula here with you alongside Mike Bassick and Alec Medford. Having a lot of fun. I mean, just got through with what was almost like a podcast about baseball and where it's going. That's the type of thing that you love, like in a milestone that is like the All-Star break this time, getting to reflect. And that's why you listen to the baseball show record here in the DFW, the KNC Masterpiece, with former Major Leaguer, former Texas Ranger, Mike Bassick. Always a delight to hang out with you.
Well, before we get to AM on the FM.
Yes, sir.
It was amazing being at the game and seeing how many guys can come out of the bullpen just throwing flame-throwing stuff with a nasty off-speed pitch.
Yeah, because, I mean, that was the thing about Mason Miller. He's throwing 103, and then he breaks off what was like an 88-mile-per-hour slider or what of something
or like Tanner Scott for Miami, who's an unknown, right? I mean, and Mason Miller, I don't think he's an unknown, but he plays for one of the worst teams in baseball, and so does Tanner Scott. And they both have unbelievably great closers on their team. They just don't get the opportunity to close many games.
I mean, we're coming up on the trade deadline. I don't know if you move those guys around.
When Tanner Scott came in, I told my son, I said, that's who I want the Rangers to get. But I don't know how gettable he is.
Well, I mean, if he is gettable, I imagine that's got to be a name that pops up because it looked really fun to watch him do his thing. It's always fun to get a little AM on the FM.
What does this button do? Please, do not push the button. You have no idea what it...
Now, reality can be whatever I want.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Still to this day, even after being drafted by the Carolina Panthers, nobody can understand Xavier Leggett, even on his own team. We're going to hear some sound here in just a moment. 877-881-1053. That is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney's text line to answer today's question of the day, because we've been talking about the greatness that was the All-Star experience, the All-Star break here in Arlington. I was very happy to be a part of that. That was one of the most incredible experiences that I've had in my short life. So but that was fun. It was a very fun week or so getting to experience all that. We've been talking about good things. I've asked questions of the day before about like your favorite performances you've seen, whether it's concerts, games, anything. I want to know what the worst live event experience was that you've ever been to. 877-881-1053. Twitch and YouTube as well. Want to hear from you there. And it can be a sports game where you saw your favorite team lose by 40 points or 12 runs, or maybe an ace lets you down on the mound, or it could be a concert where you went and it was just terrible. I want to know. Yeah. 877-881-1053.
And Mike, you always talk about this. It feels like it's going to be a sports event, because what other event do you go to where you have like such a low likelihood of being like super excited at the end of it, right? You go to a concert and it's a really small level of event or possibility that you're leaving. You're like, I didn't get my money's worth. I want my money back. Usually it's like it's a band or a performer that you like. You go, you're excited and cool. Like with a sporting event, you might like your team might lose. They might lose in a terrible fashion. Someone might get hurt that really messes up your day. Like there's ways that this could really go the wrong way on you.
I might mess her name up again. Sorry. I know it's Andrus is her last
Ingrid
name.
Andrus?
Yeah. If I went to see her in concert drunk. Not me drunk, her drunk. That would be a major disappointment.
Well, you're not going to have that opportunity. I think she had like two tour dates that I had seen on her social media, and they're not selling tickets to those, which makes sense. Obviously, she said that she is she's going to be entering rehab for her for which seems like it's going to be is a alcohol problem. So wish her the best in that regard.
Yeah, whenever I start thinking of bad performances, I am going to hang that up in the rafters.
It's
the
up there.
National anthem performance, because I'm amazed that I got to be there for that. You know, it just overshadowed the home run derby. The first thing I get home, and my dad's awake, and he's like, so, that national anthem, huh? He doesn't ask me about how fun was that? Like, what was the Derby like? It was so, that national anthem. So that's definitely going up in the rafters for me and for all the wrong reasons. Luckily, I haven't been to any, like, concerts that I paid for that I wasn't happy with. I said, these guys sucked or these people sucked. I will say I went to a handful of wrestling shows that I was just like, that was a horrible card.
Ugh.
Like, that was worthless. Like, I remember there was an episode of SmackDown at Dickies Arena in 2022. I want to say later in the year, maybe like October-ish. And this was back when Vince McMahon was still running creative and everything. And
sure.
He was very hit or miss with his creative decisions. I paid like $300 for a floor seat, you know, close to front row, because I thought it was going to be a good show. It was terrible. There was maybe, I think someone tweeted it, there was 12 minutes of in-ring action.
Mm.
The rest was just promos or little fights, you know, not even matches. I was like, I paid this much money for a bunch of talking. Like, I should have stayed home and watched this on TV. I was just really disappointed after the show. I was like, I don't know if I want to go the next time they come to town. Eventually I did, and I was happy. But that one episode sticks with me because I was like, there was nothing memorable about that. I can tell you pretty much the full card of any show I went to. That one, I can't remember much other than it sucked.
I can now think of one. I don't know if this is the number one, but I finally thought of one. And I've brought this up before on the air, but in 1998, the Cowboys still had the remnants of a championship team. And I remember going to like Sears or Foley's / Macy's or whatever.
All those names just blast from the past. Well,
and
not Macy's.
I went and bought, at the time, very expensive for me. I bought two tickets to take me and my girlfriend to the Dallas Cowboys versus Arizona Cardinals playoff game. And it was cold.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys, I think, lost that game 21-7. It was a the Cowboys were horrible. Jake Plummer beat us. The Cowboys got nothing going offensively the whole game. And that was the last time I ever paid for a Dallas Cowboys ticket. And I said after that, not that I hated the Dallas Cowboys at that point, but I was just like, man, that was good money, and it didn't even feel like they tried very hard, which is now very typical, it feels like, of Cowboys playoff football. But that was Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, Deion Sanders, Michael Irvin. It was the remnants of a championship dynasty, and they were horrible, coached by Chan Gailey, who then got fired, I think, the next year. But, like, it was horrible, and I just remember such great expectations for that game and being there. And it just was so disappointing and so boring because the Cowboys never did anything that playoff game.
I can give you something interesting. You would think I've been to a million Cowboys games in my life. As a fan, I've been to one. I've been to one singular Cowboys game as a fan.
Well, Jerry always talks about it. More fans have probably never set foot in the arena of their favorite or the stadium of their favorite football player or football team, rather.
Yeah, and the one game I went to, Christmas Eve 2017, the Cowboys were hosting the Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, no.
And there were pretty much playoff implications in this game.
Oh,
and it was
no.
Like, winner is going to advance to the playoffs because both were struggling. I think they both came in with 8 wins on the year. So they were both mediocre teams in the NFC, and the NFC wasn't too strong. So there was opportunity. Everybody thought the Cowboys were going to win this game. They only put up 12 points. It was 21-12 was the final score. And I was so disappointed because it was a noon kick. And afterwards, I had planned, since it was Christmas Eve, to go with the family to go look at Christmas lights. And it was freezing outside. So I was just freezing cold waiting to get into the stadium. Never really warmed up. Disappointed that my team lost and we got eliminated from the playoffs. And I have to go look at Christmas lights and pretend to be happy. And not like my heart just got broken by the Dallas Cowboys while looking at Christmas lights. So that's how my one trip as a fan has gone for the Dallas Cowboys.
Oof. Okay. A lot of people texting in their experiences, a lot of sports. From the 214, obviously, TCU Georgia National Championship game. Experience was great, but the game was horrible for a TCU fan. That makes sense. Let's see. There is some music ones in here as well, but 817, Duke NC State game this past March. Tovash said he's still upset about that. That's tough. 806 mentions the 08 divisional round game between the Giants and the Cowboys. I imagine the Cowboys pops up a few times. Oh, this is interesting. Okay, so this is another sport, but a different one. 903, they said they went to a PBR event, professional bull riding. And a lot of the riders didn't make it to the 8-second mark. And I guess that didn't do it for them. They were anticipating seeing more people defeat the Bulls, but I guess the Bulls won more often there. 214 said Fiona Apple. They threw him out there. 817 said the worst concert that they'd seen was Frank Ocean at Coachella.
Yeah, that made national headlines how bad that was. That was incredible to see. I even thought about going. So, but lots of people attacking me for being a wrestling fan. That's just lame.
I mean,
it's the same as watching a soap opera. Like, you know, it's scripted. I'm not even getting into all that. But I did see some people say that they were unhappy with some WrestleManias that they went to. Like when The Undertaker's legendary streak got broken. That was the dumbest booking decision of all time, to have Brock Lesnar beat The Undertaker. Because he didn't need it. He's Brock Lesnar. A former UFC heavyweight champion. He didn't need it. And Undertaker got hurt legitimately in that match and had to go to the hospital. So not a great ending.
I saw something on that. Didn't he hate wrestling like Brock Lesnar because he was so technically horribly bad at it?
Yeah, he did mention that he got beat up in pretty much every match that he had against him. And there's a lot of people that they say, you just got to know you're going to work rough with Lesnar because he will literally throw you around.
And he doesn't know how. He just doesn't know how to do the technical parts of moves to make it safe for everybody involved.
And it was really when he returned to the company, he left for a while to go back into MMA, and he kind of had to relearn how to be a little less physical with these guys, because you got to protect your coworker. That's always the prevailing sentiment in pro wrestling, is you got to protect your dance partner, because you got to do it again, you know, later on in the week, sure, later on in the month, you got to protect each other. And he just wasn't really as good. Nowadays, you know, his last maybe two runs, he's been really good. People have spoken highly about this guy knows how to work. He's safe. You know, he'll sell for you if he likes you, so on and so forth. But that second run he had with the company, not as great. So,
Yeah, no, I was about to jump into another one, but I didn't realize you were done talking. That you weren't done talking. That's my bad. But folks did mention, because I'm trying to find like the subsets of different genres of answers to this question. And one of those is, folks not showing up, right? And I think that this is where we ended up with the minimum game rule in the NBA, because someone said they bought their first Mavs game, Mavs-Lakers. Bron was a last-minute scratch. Like, I didn't think about it from that way, where, like, also, if people just don't end up playing, or if someone gets hurt before you actually get a chance to see the game, then it kind of invalidates it. Another one of those, 214, they said Cedric Entertainer Show. He was an hour late, did a 30-minute set, and wasn't funny. And he charged as much as Kevin Hart. So, like, also, comedy gets into an interesting place, because sometimes they're working things out, and maybe you didn't get the funny show.
Sure. I did see Twolo Vader on the Twitch say any concert at AT&T Stadium because of the acoustics.
Ooh.
And I've heard so many people complain about the acoustics. I've been to one concert there. I've been to plenty of events there, but one concert. The one concert I went to was The Weeknd, and it sounded fine. I was in the club level, so the 100 level, and it sounded fine to me, but I've heard more times than not the acoustics suck there, so I'll take your word for it.
Maybe they've gotten better at it. I went to George Strait, the first one ever, and then I went to U2 not much longer, like, after that, and they were both nothing against, I love U2, I love George Strait, but it was horrible being there. I was in the upper deck for both of them, and it was a miserable, like, it was boring, and it didn't sound good at all.
Well, you know what sounds fun is Xavier Legette, the rookie wide receiver taken by the Carolina Panthers. And I'm going to refresh your memory on what he sounds like. This was him at his introductory presser, where he was literally asked about his accent. That is very hard to understand. This is going to be important.
Your accent has garnered a lot of attention. Have you seen what they've been saying about your accent and how much people really love it?
Oh, yeah. Man, they've been dragging it all over social media. Man, I just tell folk, man, they really just ain't never heard nobody talk for much.
I like to say he speaks in cursive because everything kind of runs together. So there's an assistant coach for the Carolina Panthers named Darren Bates.
Yes.
And he was on a podcast, the Raw Room podcast. And he was talking about how even he struggles to understand the questions being asked of him.
Because I know y'all going to ask. I got one thing for you. Yes, sometimes even I can't understand this. We're in the meeting, bro. I do the rookie meetings after practice all the time. So I'm in the meeting. We watching film. We talking about something. He asked me a question, bro. Like, usually, I can understand it most of the time. This one, he got me this time.
Yeah.
He asked me, hey, coach, something, bro. I just did it. What?
What?
Hey, all the all that hell of damn, my bad, bro. Hey, slow it down. This time you gotta slow it down.
Even his coaches struggle to answer his questions at times because he's just, he's got a motor mouth a bit and the accent doesn't help.
Yeah, and it's not like we're talking about somebody that has, that somebody's like, oh, I speak in Spanish, standard American English and it sounds like I'm a broadcaster. Coach got a little bit of an accent himself.
Yeah.
And so he's like, yeah, you're beyond me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to need you to help me out here because I didn't understand what you said. Yeah, yeah, he does. He has a little bit of a motor mouth. And then also, I think, like, the Southern drawl kind of makes it even, like, looser at times. So it's just like,
sure.
Yeah, the enunciation is lost on me at times. Although I haven't had too much of an issue understanding Xavier Legette in the clips, but you get to places where you're like, no, I see why this is a problem, though. I get it.
And it seems like when he's, like, away from the microphone, when he's comfortable, that's when you hear the stories about this dude. Sometimes you just can't get it because, like, I saw the video, maybe you saw, where he was training with Deebo Samuel at a gym and they were doing sprints against each other to see who had the higher sprint speed. And he was, like, talking mess to Deebo. I couldn't understand a word he said. And Debo's over here laughing and, chirping back. And I was like, what did he say to you?
Smile and nod.
Yeah. Just smile and wave, boys. Smile and wave. That's AM on the FM.
Appreciate you, Medford. Always fun when we get a chance to do that here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's do a little segment I like to call Does It Matter or Nah? There's some, various stories out there. I'll ask Mike if it matters or if it's just unimportant. We'll do that next on the...
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. Reginald Atatula, Mike Bassick, and Alec Medford here with you on this Wednesday in the Metroplex. Fantastic All-Star game yesterday, capped off a wonderful All-Star weekend. Of course, your three All-Stars, Marcus Semien, Corey Seager, Kirby Yates, all ply their trade. Yates probably, I don't know, would you say Kirby was the best of the three on the night?
Yes. Semien had an error.
I think that ultimately got changed to a hit.
Okay, good. Because I was going to say that ball was hit pretty hard. Yeah. In today's world of if you hit it hard, no matter if you hit it at him, it's a hit. I was surprised that they called that an error. So I was going to say, yeah, 1-for-2 for Semien, 0-for-1 for Seager, even though he supplied a lot of drama off of the bat. Kirby Yates was like all the relievers, all the real relievers that relieved in the game. Yes. Obviously, some of the starters had issues and gave up runs in the game when they came in relief. But yeah, Kirby Yates was the best. Now, I have something for the Frankel and Frankel
injury text attorney line. Text line. Yes, sir.
Okay. I have to drive to Melissa after this show is over. I'm looking at the weather map right now. If you live in or around Melissa before I make this 1 hour drive from my house,
can you help us out?
Yeah, this is a big Metroplex. Is it raining in Melissa? Does it look really bad in Melissa? Because I'm seeing a lot of storms like in that Plano, Allen, Frisco area. And I know it's even further up north than that. But how is it looking way up north around Melissa right now?
Yeah, I know there's supposed to be scattered showers all the way around the Metroplex. Shout out to Dan Brunoff and the KRLD 1080
team. His biceps, yeah.
That's right. But let's do a little segment I like to call Matter or Nah, Mike. Okay, I'm going to throw out some various stories that are going around right now, and I'll ask you if it matters or nah. And we begin going back to All-Star Weekend and all these things. Rob Manfred, as all these kind of commissioners do, they talk during these time periods for their sport. And one of the things he talked about is the possibility of robot umpires maybe making their way to spring training next season, that there's a possibility that they might test robot umps for spring training next season.
Just behind the plate? I'm confused. For out and safe? I'm just assuming this is the umpire, the robot strike zone?
Yes, it's the automated ball strike system. Okay. ABS is what they call it. They've used it at the minor league level for the past 5 years and began using it in AAA last season, I should say. And so the idea is that there's a possibility this might be used in spring training next season, which obviously would lead to the idea of soon it making its way to the majors. Do you find this to be a story that matters or not?
Matters. I do think that will change the game tremendously. I'm not saying for better or for worse.
Yeah.
I see the positives and I see the negatives. Just like if they had an automated, like, you don't call offsides anymore in football coming up. They're like, somehow there's some sort of laser beam line that is in the two neutral zones or whatever. And if those lines are ever touched or whatever, the refs don't even have to see if it's offsides or if they got the right, you know, jump off of the snap or whatever. Right. The laser went off. I don't care what the replay says or whatever. The laser said it was a offsides. In this case, the laser said it was a strike. It didn't touch the laser. It's a ball. There's nothing we can do about it. I do kind of, I don't know. I don't watch minor league baseball.
Sure.
But I guess they have the thing where you can tap the top of your helmet
and ask for a replay.
And ask for a replay if you feel like the umpire made a bad call. I don't know how many you get in a game. I don't know all the rules of it.
Yeah, of it like being utilized as a challenge as opposed to just kind of like them knowing
It is amazing. Eric Nadel will do this here on 105.3 The Fan at times, and he will go back off of the game before. And early on in the game, he'll say, yesterday, you know, whoever it is, whoever the umpire was, they got 98% of the pitches correct on balls and strikes, according to
umpire scorecard. I don't know if it's like a full website. I do know that there's a Twitter account that kind of gives a scorecard of all of the umpires' pitch accuracy and those types of things.
And I find that amazing that these guys are good enough that the bad ones still get 90% of the calls right. Like, if you're under 90%, you had a pathetic game.
Yeah.
If you're like at 95%, it's like, we can live with that. And then, but there's so many times where Eric Nadel says, yeah, this guy got close to 100%. Or yesterday, I remember him saying this, only two pitches were missed. That he got every call right off of what we would use as the computer.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much it would change the game. Like, I get it. But when you go to the umpire scorecards, you're only looking at like 3 to 5% of the pitches being changed, overturned.
And I mean, that those pitches could be really helpful. But I mean, as you mentioned, it's a small, very small amount. Now, I do wonder, because we've talked about this before, do you think this change is catching? If we get to a point where we move from that 98% most of the time to 100%, and maybe framing doesn't become as important.
Yes.
Does this change the way that we look at catchers and what kind of profile a player can play behind the plate and those types of things?
Yes, you'll still have to have a cannon for an arm or a good arm because we've seen how they've tried to encourage base stealing. So there's that. Also this, the one knee is to frame the ball at the bottom of the zone. Well, if there's no such thing as challenges, it's just 100% robo umpire. Well, then I don't need to frame at all. Like, there's no such thing as framing. So now I just need to put myself in the most athletic stance to block everything possible. Now, I've talked to Bobby Wilson about this. He has, and Major League Baseball, not just the catching coach for the Texas Rangers, Bobby Wilson. They have a lot of numbers and a lot of things to back up that guys are actually blocking better on one knee than rather in the squat position. You're what, if you want to call it a traditional position.
Sure.
I don't know how much I want to accept that. To be honest, I don't know how much I want to accept that. But there's a lot of things that Bobby Wilson has to back that up. And I can't question that, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if they were to go to 100% robo umpire, would we also eliminate the one knee catching unless it's with nobody on base? So you're just resting your legs a little bit because now I'm not trying to frame the bottom of the zone. All I just need to do is catch the ball if there's a runner on base so they don't move on wild pitches or pass balls.
And to be fair, as the 254 asks, like they started when they were implementing it at the minor league level, using it to call half of the games entirely with the ABS system. And then they moved it to challenge. And I mean, basically, it's just. I mean, they're using it as a challenge system, so I imagine if they move it up, it would remain a challenge system. But, I mean, the idea is there, and it's a possibility if they feel comfortable with it. But at this point, it would be more of just a challenge system.
If it is a challenge system, then it won't change catching very much because they're going to still have to do a great job of framing because if you have a limited amount of challenges and nothing against Leody Taveras, if Leody Taveras is up in the third inning with nobody on and two outs and he challenges a 3-1 pitch, Like, I'm like, no.
No, we're not wasting,
wasting a challenge on a, let's say, a 280 on base percentage guy. Like, we are wasting challenges, or at least challenging, to see if I can keep Corey Seager at the dish. I'm seeing with runners on second and third and one out on a rough call, if I can keep Adolis Garcia at the dish with a sack fly getting it done. So I think that it would definitely go into having meetings, because I think the players are able to challenge it. It doesn't come from the bench. Unlike, I hate to tell you this, and I'm just using him for an example, or I'll use, I don't know, me. I was a horrible hitter in the major leagues as a pitcher. You're never challenging anything. We don't care.
Right.
You're getting out 85% of the time. You're only getting on base 15%. We're never using a challenge. They can call a ball over your head a strike. You're walking back to the dugout as strike three.
Right.
So I think you'd have to have new meetings on, like, you're not allowed to challenge.
Sure.
Unless I tell you from the bench, hey, challenge it, because now we're in a premium situation and it doesn't matter that you're one of our least hitters.
For sure. All right. As we continue, does it matter or not? Actually, before we move on, you did ask the five folks out in the general Melissa area.
Help me out.
From the 469, not bad. And Melissa just got here to work. Have a good day and drive. Safe, I believe, is what they said. 972, just light rain just finished here in McKinney, Mike. Seems like there was just kind of a 956 said in 30 minutes to an hour, you'll have a clear ride to Melissa. The rain is moving south, just south of Melissa along 75 corridor, should be clear. And so seems like it's been kind of light rain, but it's moving through. It seems like you will be good. Were you hoping for a rain out? Is that what you're looking at?
No, I don't. I want to watch, because I can't watch tomorrow. He plays at 9 a.m. and working. And then Friday he plays, I can't remember, but like none of it works out, because I'm also doing Rangers for the weekend. So this is my last time pretty much today to watch him play baseball the rest of this summer season. So I would like to watch him play, but it stinks to drive an hour somewhere and then for a game to get rained out.
Okay. All right. How about this? Matter or nah? Yesterday, during the course of the All-Star game, in fact, I'm pretty sure it happened right after, for me, I noticed it right after Cody Johnson sang his national anthem. Really smooth, velvety, in fact. And then I looked at my phone and I saw that we were getting reports that Dallas Mavericks guard Kyrie Irving underwent surgery to repair a broken left hand. I was like, wait, surgery? When did this happen? Apparently, Kyrie injured his left hand while training earlier this month. I did not see any specifics on what the training was and how it happened. However, they didn't provide a timetable, but this is typically a surgery or a something that you think maybe like 8 to 12 weeks. And so, Mike, does this matter or not?
If you make it black and white here, yes or no, matter or nah, I'll say matters.
Okay.
He's your second best player. You just made it to the NBA Finals, and he had a lot of big moments to get you there. At the same time, I want to lean towards nah, because it's mid-July, and so if we get to mid-September and everything is pretty healed, he can still keep his cardio up. It is his left hand, so you can somewhat practice shooting. Obviously, he's great with his left hand. In layups and finishes, and we saw the 15-foot kind of running hook thing over Jokic to win a game with his left. So, yes, it matters, but as long as we get to September 15th, October 1st, and everything is healed up and he's ready to go for the season, it didn't matter, because it's the off season. People have surgeries. This was unexpected, so I am concerned. Yes. I don't know. You know, we got the Josh Young surgery. And they're like, this was a lot worse than we thought.
Right.
And it has been a lot worse, right? We are now past the All-Star break, and we are not hearing any indication that Josh Young is going to be ready to play Friday. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm not reading the right people. But that will be concerning. If you ask me that question again on October 1st, and we're hearing that he's not ready for training camp, or he can't do any preseason stuff because his hand isn't healed yet, then definitely it'll matter.
And the hand is a very delicate like part of the body, a lot of little, you know, bones and those types of things. But as I mentioned, like the standard, you know, timetable that you get is 8 to 12 weeks. That would put you, that would, you know, put him back and ready to like contribute before training camp. And I know that Tim McMahon of ESPN said that he talked to somebody within the building that said that they don't have any concerns that he won't, they believe he'll be ready for training camp. So that would be good. But I mean, I do wonder, like, hey, not being able to, you know, work out as much as he would. And you said, like, cardio will be good. Right hand is still available, but not being able to do exactly what he wants to in the offseason, I imagine would be frustrating. But he's also a veteran, right?
Yeah.
He knows his game in and out, I think, for the most part. And so even if it's like a little bit more of a down offseason for him, I don't think that that's going to be something that hampers his ability to come out and perform at the level that you want to. When season comes around. So I think I'm actually in a place as well where it's like, this doesn't matter as well. But it was weird to just have it pop up out of nowhere, though.
Yeah, and I will say this. I think the Mavericks throughout their history have exaggerated their depth beyond means. And look, there's people that also are somewhat with the Mavericks that will kind of media-wise go, this is a deep team. And I'm like, my ass, it's a deep team. You know? And but this one I really do. If somebody said, hey, in the regular season for 2 weeks or a month, Kyrie's not going to be there. I do think right now, not that you're going to be as good, but you have enough depth with Dante Exum and Jaden Hardy and maybe Klay Thompson helping out a little bit of the scoring load by shooting the ball a little bit more. Derek Lively hopefully getting better. PJ Washington. I'm like, no, this actually is a deep team. Like, they don't have to lie to me and tell me how deep they are with Dwight Powell being a starting center. Like, Dwight Powell being your third center tells me that you have some depth at center.
Yeah. A few notes to get to. Joe Pavelski will indeed be retiring. He told SiriusXM Scott Laughlin yesterday. And so we knew that he was going to step away at the very least. And it was kind of understood that he'd probably be retiring. That is now officially official. And on top of that, the Dallas Stars announced a couple of additions to the Dallas Stars Hall of Fame earlier this week. Brendan Morrow and Jim Light. Morrow, obviously, 13 seasons with the Stars, 7 as the captain, and he was picked in the 97 NHL draft. Light, of course, obviously involved with the Stars front office since 2011, as well as stints further back as well, and he was brought back on as the president of the CEO of the Stars in 11. So both of those guys going into the Stars Hall of Fame, a salute to them as well. It's KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. Let's talk to the fellas from the G-Bag Nation next on 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. Reginald Adatula, Mike Bassick, Alec Medford all hanging out with you today. It's been a fun one thus far. Enjoying an AL All-Star victory, 5-3. Kirby Yates showed out well. Good to see Corey Seager put a charge into the ball. You hope it would win a little bit further. And, of course, Marcus Semien also getting a hit in that one. So Rangers showed out the way that you wanted to. Right now, let's cross-talk with our fellas from the G-Bag Nation, courtesy of D&M Leasing. Fellas, how you doing today?
Terrific. How are you?
Doing quite well. I mean, maybe not as well as you guys. Tomorrow, 5 p.m., you guys get to talk to Frank Caliendo. Like, how excited are you guys for that?
Dude, yeah, very. Super yeah, excited. We were just actually talking about in the break room, like, the strategy going in and
yeah.
Everything he can do. And, of course, he's got the four shows at the Addison Improv coming up this weekend. So we're going to dive into that. We'll have Frank Caliendo tomorrow at 5 o'clock right here in studio. And, of course, you know, Jerry Jones and Gruden, I think, are probably his go-tos in the NFL. So, of course, we'll hear from both those guys and who knows what else.
Yeah, I'm super excited to hear it, honestly, because that seems like you guys like having fun with your guests, and that seems like a guest who's going to be right up for having the fun with you as well.
Frank Caliendo's the best. I'm very, very envious of this, because I have 2 days of paternity leave that I'm having to use tomorrow and Friday, so I'm going to miss out on this, but I will be tuned in at 5.
That's why they scheduled it on
Big
Thursday.
Big-time FOMO. Yeah.
Like, oh, we'll check you out? All right, Frank, come
perfect
on in, baby.
Perfect time for Frank. Yeah, I wonder how he handles, because, like, John Madden is something that he was great at, and Bill Walton, like, from the grave, sure. Has he changed his, is he still hitting those the same way? And I also am curious with his stand-up, like, how much of his stand-up is him doing impersonations?
Sure.
And how much is it, like, him just firing off, just writing jokes?
Look at you being a capital J journalist, getting like, hey, this is what you can expect when you get to the Addison Improv to see Caliendo.
Reggie, you know damn good and well he's going to ask how much he deadlifts.
Hey, Frank, what's the workout routine?
What comedian would you
say? If he comes in looking
what's your favorite protein, dude?
Yeah, what comedian do you say would look the best with his shirt
hey,
off?
Hey, Frank,
you have anybody in mind, Frank, that you want to tell me about?
It's probably the guy that used to be the UFC fighter.
Oh, yes. Oh,
Schwab or something?
Yes. Gosh, I'm
Frank Schwab?
His first name. It's not Frank. It's not
Charles Schwab.
Brendan Schaub.
Yeah, Charles.
That's what it is.
Schaub?
Brendan Schaub.
UFC fighter turned stand-up guy.
Yes, and he's hilarious now. I do think it'd be funny to have a Mel Kiper Jr. versus Brian Broaddus draft off here, because he does a great Kiper.
That sounds fun. I'm super excited. That's tomorrow. What do you guys got today?
Yeah. Oh, man, Pure Gold as always. Thanks for asking, Reg. Of course, we'll react to the All-Star game right out of the gates here. Talk about the Kyrie Irving news.
Yeah.
Here coming up in about 10 minutes and the latest Team USA result.
Yeah. Team USA, when we were watching early, we were like, oh, man, Serbia is holding on to them. And then we looked up and they were beating the brace off of Serbia. So looks like about ready for the Olympics, I imagine. Although with USA basketball, we did realize during their media sessions, we learned that there is one flaw in USA basketball. And that's that Steph Curry can't spin a basketball on his finger.
Yeah, dude.
Isn't that bizarre?
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, one of the most skilled guards in maybe NBA history and U.S. basketball history can't do that. And so that got me asking, what's something that you absolutely should be able to do that you just can't? Like, you just can't do. You should be able to do.
Quality radio.
I think that there's folks that disagree with that.
Are there?
Talk, speak English.
Sure. Yeah. Those are also things that come up. Like for me, we talked about kind of the major ones for a lot of folks is like whistle. I think some people I can snap with my offhand. I can't snap with my dominant hand, which is weird. If you do it, you feel like you should be able to do it with either, right?
Yeah, I can double snap. But I can't do the whistle. What I can't do is like the finger in the mouth.
Can't do
whistle.
That
I think it's one of the coolest things.
I can't ski, and it infuriates me. But I quit. I'm done. I've tried
Water and snow.
I've never even tried to water ski.
The water skiing looks difficult.
But I've tried. Like I tried snow skiing. Was on the bunny slope and all that crap.
Is it the fear of blowing out your knee, Mike?
It's yes. I'm too scared. Just like I said. I said.
The older you get, the more fear you have.
It's horrible. I said at least skiing, it's not life threatening that I can't do it. Yeah. I always worry about people that say
a helmet on.
I can't swim. Like I just can't. That's always tough to me to be like when people say, "Oh, I don't." And I get, but you get to a certain age, and I don't know what age it is. Whether it's 14, whether it's 22, I don't know. Where the water scares you so much, you can't get over the fear of then learning how to swim. Because I'm so scared of skiing, I can't get over the fear to do it.
I'm like that with heights where, you know, I feel like some people are like that in a pool where the fear of it is just so all-encompassing that I feel like I will lose control of my body and just fall off the edge when I should be able to walk that line. You know, I'll walk on curbs. There's no problem getting through areas, but you put me up elevated where I can see it would be a long fall. My body, like, you know, won't function properly.
That's wild.
Yeah. I grew up skiing, so I am good at that. But every time I got on that damn chairlift, I would feel that insane fear, you know, for the 8 to 10 minutes.
That's crazy because Broadus had a completely different experience on the ski lift.
I wish I had Brian on the ski lift.
Yeah, if you skied with me, you were having it was Mardi Gras Brian on the ski lift.
Oh, okay.
He had sandwiches. And he was his own convenience store,
Tossing them to the other skiers? Yeah. They were going down like, here.
You need a beer. You need a light. You need a sandwich.
Blue Dolphin.
If you ever have seen the movie Fast Time at Ridgemont High when Spicoli falls out of the van, that was us on the Vistabon, but we called it the Rock. And that's when you wrote to me, you could get a turkey sandwich, you could probably get high, and you could probably have a cold beer while you were
the trifecta.
But I'd ski with a backpack. Awesome. I'd ski with a backpack with all those things. I was a St. Bernard dog before St. Bernard dogs. You know, they carry the flat, the cask under
the... Are you just carrying your stuff or like with the party?
Oh,
are
I was
you,
a team player. I had a team player.
Okay, very good.
I had this little kid from Minneapolis stare me down one time, and I gave him a look. He's like... He goes, Mom, he looks like he's wasted. We're riding the lift, and because we were an odd number.
Don't be mad at the kid.
And I took my glasses, and I pulled them down into my nose. I'm like, I just gave that kid like the death stare, and he just didn't say another word the rest of the time.
You might have traumatized the kid, it sounds like.
No. Pipe down, kid.
Pipe down,
mind
kid.
Mind your damn business.
You want a Coors?
Yeah, you need to chill, bro.
Goodness gracious.
The Steph Curry, not the spinning on the finger thing, though, I think it's, I feel like to me, that is a skill that you were born with. I don't think there's any learning that. I'm 0% better than, like, I can't do it. I've never been able to do it. I'm not any better today at doing it than I was the very first time I tried.
Have you tried? When was the last time you tried it, though? I feel like.
Weeks ago.
Okay, yeah. Weekly. You just go ahead
weeks
and.
Weeks ago.
Has it changed yet? Right. Yeah.
As soon as I saw him post the video, I was trying.
That is an upset. Huge upset.
It drives me absolutely crazy. Abby can do it now at 12. And I
still
can't.
Oh, no.
She's like, hey, Dad, watch this. I've been working on the last 5 minutes. I'm like,
Reggie,
that's great.
So she's just born with that skill, dude. Kudos to her.
Reggie and Dawson, you guys are soccer guys. Would that be the equivalent of a player not being able to juggle?
Yes.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, for sure. And we had someone on the text line here. They said they played soccer in high school.
Can't juggle.
Got a partial scholarship. Couldn't juggle. Not very good at it.
It's very rare that you find a good player that can't.
Right, like that.
Luka can juggle better than maybe some soccer dudes. You ever seen
I'm
him?
Sure. Yeah.
Mike loves it when he does that in pregame.
That's right, exactly. He's focused on going and scoring 33.
Everything but shooting free throws. Mike loves that.
It's weird. He's the only person I've ever seen in the history of the NBA to be that great and take the 15 minutes before the game and not practice the game at all.
Yeah, I mean, for him, it's nice, though. He comes out last, I think, practicing. Yeah. So he's actually gotten in his work juggle. Maybe 45 minutes earlier, yeah. And now it's time to have
fun.
I'll
tell you who can juggle way better with a basketball, though, is Steve Nash. I've seen yes. Steve Nash with a basketball with his footwork.
He's
with
really like, good soccer player.
Yeah, he could do some things. Now, he wouldn't do it 5 minutes before a game started for 10 minutes, but that's Luka.
Well, I mean, Luka likes having fun right before he goes to work. I like having fun listening to you fellas. I'm super excited to hear what the show sounds like today. You got to 7, right?
Yes, sir. Full show.
Excited.
2 to 7. Today. Sean McFarland.
I just wanted to make sure because I know sometimes it doesn't.
Oh.
Sean McFarland saw him at the Globe Life Field, so I'm sure that he'll give you some great insight into what happened at the All-Star game
Rangers
as well.
Had an East Coaster tonight.
They were in Cincinnati playing the Reds.
There you go. 2 to 7. This is no other place to be than here with the G-Bag Nation. We've been the KNC Masterpiece. Reginald Adetulu, Mike Bassick, Alec Medford. Join the show tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on 105 Through the Fan.
Maybe 6 inches is enough.
Fan. KNC Masterpiece here on 105 Through the Fan. Reginald Adetulu, Mike Bassick, Alec Medford all hanging out with you today. It's been a fun one thus far, enjoying an AL All-Star victory, 5-3. Kirby Yates showed out well. Good to see Corey Seager put a charge into the ball. You hope it would win a little bit further. And, of course, Marcus Semien also getting a hit in that one. So Rangers showed out the way that you wanted to. Right now, let's... Crosstalk with our fellas from the G-Bag Nation, courtesy of D&M Leasing. Fellas, how you doing today?
Terrific. How are you?
Doing quite well. I mean, maybe not as well as you guys. Tomorrow, 5 p.m., you guys get to talk to Frank Caliendo. Like, how excited are you guys for that?
Dude, yeah, very. Super yeah, excited. We were just actually talking about in the break room, like the strategy going in and everything he can do. And, of course, he's got the four shows at the Addison Improv coming up this weekend. So we're going to dive into that. We'll have Frank Caliendo tomorrow at 5 o'clock right here in studio. And, of course, you know, Jerry Jones and Gruden, I think, are probably his go-tos in the NFL. So, of course, we'll hear from both those guys and who knows what else.
Yeah, I'm super excited to hear it, honestly, because that seems like you guys like having fun with your guests, and that seems like a guest who's going to be right up for having the yes, fun man. With you as well.
Frank Caliendo's the best. I'm very, very envious of this, because I have 2 days of paternity leave that I'm having to use tomorrow Ooh. And Friday, so I'm going to miss out on this, but I will be tuned in at 5
That's why they scheduled it on
Big
Thursday.
Big-time FOMO.
Huh?
Yeah.
Like, oh, we'll check you out? All right, Frank, come
Perfect
on in, baby.
Time for Frank. Yeah, I wonder how he handles, because, like, John Madden is something that he was great at, and Bill Walton... Like, from the grave, sure. Has he changed his, you know, is he still hitting those the same way? And I also am curious with his stand-up, like, how much of his stand-up is him doing impersonations?
Sure.
And how much is it, like, him just firing off, just writing jokes?
Look at you being a capital J journalist, getting like, hey, this is what you can expect when you get to the Addison Improv to see Caliendo.
Reg, you know damn good and well he's going to ask how much he deadlifts.
Hey, Frank, what's the workout routine?
What comedian would you
say? If he comes in looking
What's your favorite protein, dude?
Yeah, what comedian do you say would look the best with his shirt
hey,
off?
Hey, Frank,
do you have anybody in mind, Frank, that you want to tell me about?
It's probably the guy that used to be the UFC fighter.
Oh, yes. Oh,
Schwab or something?
Yes. Gosh, I'm
Frank
blanking
Schwab?
On his first name. It's not Frank. It's not
Charles Schwab.
Brendan Schaub.
Yeah, Charles.
That's what it is.
Schaub?
Brendan Schaub.
Oh,
yeah.
UFC fighter turned stand-up guy.
Yes, and he's hilarious now. I do think it'd be funny to have a Mel Kiper Jr. versus Brian Broaddus draft off here because he does a great Kiper.
Yeah. That sounds fun. I'm super excited. That's tomorrow. What do you guys got today?
Yeah. Oh, man. Pure Gold, as always. Thanks for asking, Reg. Of course, we'll react to the All-Star game right out of the gates here. Talk about the Kyrie Irving news.
Yeah.
Here coming up in about 10 minutes and the latest Team USA result.
Yeah. Team USA, when we were watching early, we were like, oh, man, Serbia's holding on to them. And then we looked up and they were beating the brakes off of Serbia. So looks like about ready for the Olympics, I imagine. Although with USA basketball, we did realize during their media sessions, we learned that there is one flaw in USA basketball, and that's that Steph Curry can't spin a basketball on his finger.
Yeah, dude.
Isn't that bizarre?
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, one of the most skilled guards in maybe NBA history and U.S. basketball history can't do that. And so that got me asking, what's something that you absolutely should be able to do that you just can't? Like, you just can't do. You should be able to do.
Quality radio.
I think that there's folks that disagree with that.
Are there?
Talk, speak English.
Sure. Yeah. Those are also things that come up. Like for me, we talked about kind of the major ones for a lot of folks is like whistle. I think some people like, I can snap with my offhand. I can't snap with my dominant hand, which is weird. If you do it, you feel like you should be able to do it with either, right?
Yeah. I could double snap. But I can't do the whistle. What I can't do is like the finger in the mouth.
Can't do
whistle.
That either.
I think it's one of the coolest things.
I can't ski, and it infuriates me. But I quit. I'm done. I've tried
Water and snow.
I've never even tried to water ski.
The water skiing looks difficult.
But I've tried. Like I tried snow skiing. Was on the bunny slope and all that crap.
Is it the fear of blowing out your knee, Mike?
It's yes. I'm too scared. Just like I said. I said.
The older you get, the more fear you have.
It's horrible. At least skiing, it's not life-threatening that I can't do it. Yeah. I always worry about people that say,
a helmet on.
I can't swim. Like, I just can't. That's always tough to me to be like, when people say, but you get to a certain age, and I don't know what age it is, whether it's 14, whether it's 22, I don't know, where the water scares you so much you can't get over the fear of then learning how to swim. Because I'm so scared of skiing, I can't get over the fear to do it.
I'm like that with heights where, you know, I feel like some people are like that in a pool where the fear of it is just so all-encompassing that I feel like I will lose control of my body and just fall off the edge when I should be able to walk that line. You know, I'll walk on curbs. There's no problem getting through areas, but you put me up elevated where I can see it would be a long fall. My body, like, you know, won't function properly.
That's wild.
Yeah. I grew up skiing, so I am good at that. But every time I got on that damn chairlift, I would feel that insane fear, you know, for the 8 to 10 minutes.
That's crazy because Broadus had a completely different experience on the ski
lift. I wish I had Brian on the ski lift.
Yeah, if you skied with me, it was Mardi Gras Brian on the ski lift.
Oh, okay.
He had sandwiches. He was his own convenience store,
He tossing them to the other skiers? Yeah. They were going down like, here.
You need a beer, you need a light, you need a sandwich.
Blue Dolphin.
If you ever have seen the movie Fast Time at Ridgemont High, when Spicoli falls out of the van, that was us on the Vistabond, but we called it the Rock. And that's when you rode with me. You could get a turkey sandwich, you could probably get high, and you could probably have a cold beer while you were
the trifecta.
But I skied with a backpack. Awesome. I skied with a backpack with all those things. I was a Saint Bernard dog before Saint Bernard dogs. You know, they had carry the flat, the cask under.
Are you just carrying your stuff or like with the party?
I had a team player.
Okay, very good.
I had this little kid from Minneapolis stare me down one time, and I gave him a look. He's like, he goes, Mom, he looks like he's wasted. We're riding the lift, and because we were an odd number.
Don't be mad at the kid. Kid
and I took my glasses, and I pulled them down into my nose. I'm like, I just gave that kid like the death stare, and he just didn't say another word the rest of the time.
You might have traumatized the kid, it sounds like.
No. Pipe down, kid.
Pipe down,
mind
kid.
Mind your damn business.
You want a Coors?
Yeah, you need to chill, bro.
Goodness gracious.
The Steph Curry, not the spinning on the finger thing, though, I think I feel like to me, that is a skill that you were born with. I don't think there's any learning that. I'm 0% better than, like, I can't do it. I've never been able to do it. I'm not any better today at doing it than I was the very first time I tried.
Have you tried? When was the last time you tried it, though? I feel like
weeks ago.
Okay. Yeah. Weekly. You just go ahead
weeks
and
ago.
Has it changed yet? Yeah.
As soon as I saw him post the video, I was trying.
That is an upset. It's a huge upset.
It drives me absolutely crazy. Abby can do it now at 12. And I still
can't. Oh, no.
She's like, hey, Dad, watch this. I've been working on the last 5 minutes. I'm like,
Reggie,
that's
great.
So she's just born with that skill, dude. Kudos to her.
Reggie and Dawson, you guys are soccer guys. Would that be the equivalent of a player not being able to juggle?
Yes.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, for sure. And we had someone on the text line here. They said they played soccer in high school.
Can't juggle.
Got a partial scholarship. Couldn't juggle. Not very good at it.
It's very rare that you find a good player that can't.
Right, like that.
Luka can juggle better than maybe some soccer dudes. You ever seen
him? I'm sure. Yeah.
Mike loves it when he does that in pregame.
That's right, exactly.
Shooting free throws. Mike loves that.
It is weird. He's the only person I've ever seen in the history of the NBA to be that great and take the 15 minutes before the game and not practice the game at all.
Yeah, I mean, for him, it's nice, though. He comes out last, I think, practicing. Yeah. So he's actually gotten in his work juggle. Maybe 45 minutes earlier, and now it's time to have
fun.
I'll
tell you who can juggle way better with a basketball, though, is Steve Nash. I've seen Steve Nash with a basketball, with his footwork.
He's a really good soccer player.
Yeah, he could do some things. Now, he wouldn't do it 5 minutes before a game started for 10 minutes, but that's Luka.
Well, I mean, Luca likes having fun right before he goes to work. I like having fun listening to you fellas. I'm super excited to hear what the show sounds like today. You got to 7, right?
Yes, sir. Full show.
Excited.
2 to 7. Today. Sean McFarland.
I just wanted to make sure, because I know sometimes it doesn't. Sean McFarland, saw him at the Globe Life Field, so I'm sure that he'll give you some great insight into what happened at the All-Star game as well.
Rangers had an East Coaster tonight.
They were in Cincinnati playing the Reds.
There you go. 2 to 7. This is no other place to be than here with the G-Bag Nation. We've been the KNC Masterpiece. Reginald Adetulu, Mike Bassick, Alec Medford. Join the show tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on 105 Through the Fan.
Maybe 6 inches is enough.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.